This hour, it's our monthly crab conversation. Push back a week. In fact, it's going to be the third Monday of the month, both here in June and in July. And we will actually be done with the book then, if you can believe it. The book is from Larry Crabb, Shattered Dreams, God's Unexpected Path to Joy. And joining us in studio to talk about this, as they have been pretty regularly, Dr. Jason Kanz and retired Christian counselor Rob Gillette. Welcome back, guys.
Good morning. All good right. to see you.
Good to see you guys.
And good morning.
All right. So we got to recap this here a little bit in terms of this particular book, Shattered Dreams, God's Unexpected Path to Joy. Thanks to Dave, who emailed from Clayton and said he's been enjoying these crab conversations. So especially on Shattered Dreams. Last month, we had a little bit of a breather. We didn't get the full hour. So we tackled chapter 17, which was pretty meaty, the three lessons of brokenness. And now we move on to a couple of other chapters, 18 and 19, which are shorter, but we'll see if they take us the hour. Our highest dream, if we only knew it, and a dream come true. But let's just take this concept of shattered dreams and Larry Crabb's book, which is basically a Bible study on the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters. It's found there in the Old Testament. We're getting to the latter part of the book. And Jason, this deals with the latter part of the story of Ruth too, right?
It does. I think it's in this first chapter here where we're starting to see strings being tied together in the book of Ruth. Just kind of an interesting anecdote. As many people know, shop a lot of consignment stores, that sort of thing, for books. And I found a copy this week of Shattered Dreams at one of the local stores, and there were two pieces of masking tape in the front that said, "Too New Age," and not biblical, or not scriptural. So just for those of you who don't have a lot of familiarity, that is not true at all. This book is a wonderful exposition on the book of Ruth. I'm not sure what the person meant by New Age when they were writing it, but
I'm glad you found that book, yeah. And I'm glad you could address that on the air. So
I think those attitudes are out there sometimes, and we just need to be. We need to be thoughtful about what we're commenting upon. And this book really takes us deeply into the book of Ruth, and not just understanding the words that the book of Ruth says, but also how does this map onto our life?
Let me just broaden that for a second, yeah. Because Rob, you're a retired Christian counselor. Jason, you're still a counselor, mm-hmm. Who is a Christian.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair way to describe it. And so I think about somebody like Henry Cloud, and I was at a discussion not all that long ago. He's, you know, very well known for many books, probably Boundaries more than anything. And I had somebody challenge me, and they were like, where's Boundaries in the Bible? And I checked it, and I'm like, well, there were like 80 references. And I'm like, mm-hmm. How about a believer should only marry a believer? And there's all sorts of
How about
boundaries.
When Jesus got up and left when the Pharisees were talking to him?
And so there's all sorts of them, and people wanted to, and they linked to kind of a review of that book that was, you know, this was from a pastor who was critical of it. I just wondered, in general, I mean, did you face some of that where people just felt like, you know, if you're not only quoting this, you know, they were suspicious of you in terms of counseling, how you might face that either as a Christian counselor or somebody who is a Christian who does counseling.
When I first started in the early 90s, occasionally I'd get people in that were, you know, very, very, very literal about it. And they didn't like the mystery side of Scripture or the mystical. And what I found when I was working with them was to go very slow with bringing that into the picture, because usually they were deeply wounded people. They wanted structure that says, here's how you do it now. And, you know, I didn't want to add to that wound by taking away something that had started to provide for some healing. But gradually you want to integrate the mystical. Now, saying that, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and throw out the literal in the process of gaining the mystical. I was talking with a friend, and he's looking at some Catholic material right now that integrates both the mystical and the concrete again. And the way he argues in this particular situation is the concrete is the first part of our life. It's the gaining of these knowledge-based pieces of information so that in the second part of our life, the Holy Spirit can mystically interact with us to draw those things to attention so we can act on them. So we're building the container in the first part of the life, and then out of it, the second part of our life is we're helping others build their container with what we've gained.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of Christians particularly who are worried about that word mystic,
yeah,
or mystical. My experience has been, I would offer a couple of observations. I went through a, for lack of a better term, secular PhD program, mm-hmm, University of Iowa. Mm-hmm. And at the University of Iowa, I had one of my classmates, not a believer, say, tell me I had no business being at that school because I was a believer. At the same time, I've heard a lot of pushback against anything related to psychology at all. If it's not, here's six Bible verses and call me in the morning, there's some perception that it's actually not biblical. And I struggle with that, helping people to see that the Bible is deeper than that. The Holy Spirit is deeper than that. And I think that's where the appropriateness of that mysticism comes in.
Well, in books like this also, obviously, they're not the last word.
Absolutely.
You know, scripture is the last word. These books have to subordinate to what Scripture says.
Yes.
And if you're, you know, somewhat versed in Scripture, I think you can safely jump into these books and see if they're, well, that's not something that's quite, you know, fitting with this particular, you know, section of Scripture or whatever. You can discern that. But, you know, what I've discovered with Dr. Crabb's book, I haven't, in all his books, I really haven't run into so much of that. In fact, he's moved to a position that's almost anti-psychology.
Yeah.
It's more into spiritual direction,
right,
than anything.
Yeah. In fact, several years back, there was an article in Christianity Today about Larry Crabb's anti-psychology, which he kind of thought, wait a minute here, you know, he's hard to capture, he's hard to categorize, you know, he for a while was using the term spiritual direction, but even now he's saying, I don't know if I like that term. He's more, let's be fellow pilgrims on the way, you know, mm-hmm, how do we walk in relationship with one another towards deeper relationship with God?
Hmm. All right, so that's just a little bit of an aside on this discussion and maybe a bit of a challenge that you came across on a used copy of the book. We're talking about Shattered Dreams. So up to chapter 18, Our Highest Dream, If We Only Knew It. The book is Shattered Dreams, and you don't have to run far. I mean, whether in your own life or in the world. I mean, I was away from talk radio this past week, and yet as we were on vacation, hearing and seeing the news, I mean, it was unavoidable in terms of the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. So you want to talk about shattered dreams. Wow, they're everywhere you look and everywhere you turn in, yeah, our society. And yet it's inevitable that we offer this, and Crabb talks about this book we wrote many years ago, that continually messages and books are out there on how to realize your dreams, how to experience success and your goals. So this book does, it seems to me, continues to go down as we continue to unpack it this month and next month here on WWIBandWib.com, kind of a road less traveled, even within Christendom itself, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's a very narrow road because it is the integration, when we were talking just in the last, you know, conversation here, it's an integration of law and grace that's, yeah, very intense, that you cannot say, oh, this is law or this is grace, because they're so interwoven that at the particular time, it's really hard to dissect them.
Yeah.
And out of that, we don't want people to have shattered dreams. Let's make it very clear.
Right.
We aren't celebrating the fact when somebody has a, you know, a real downturn in their, you know, prosperity or their health or, you know, anything. I mean, that's heartbreaking. But God can use these things to strip away how we trust in those things, mm-hmm, for our sense of security and significance, and move it to an area where we get our sense of security and significance from Him.
Right.
It's a gradual shift.
Yeah.
So we never want to celebrate, oh, so-and-so's really had a downturn.
Yeah.
No, we want to weep with those who weep. But at the same time, we also want to have a hope,
right,
that this could be something that draws them into a deeper world where there's even more joy than what they were hoping in.
Yeah. That may be my take home from today's discussion, is that that law and grace are not separate, but that they're wedded together in this. And I think one of the important things that I take from that is we have to have a sense of the whole sweep of Scripture. One of the dangers with a lot of counseling or a lot of Christian counseling models that are, or maybe biblical counseling models that have been proposed in the past, again, is that here are six verses, just go home and do this. And that ignores the whole sweep of God's story through Scripture. One of the things that's beautiful about Ruth is it is a beautiful story, you know, and I think that we see elements in there of shattered dreams, of loss, and we see redemption occurring here.
But not perfectly restored
exactly.
dreams either.
Absolutely.
You know, there's the concept, yes, there's somewhat of a new hope, but it's not in the direction, you know, Naomi started out with at the beginning of the book. She was hoping in her sons, her
yeah.
families, and the direction that was going to take, and all that was still wiped out.
Right.
She had her daughter-in-law and nothing else.
Yeah, basically.
And that, yeah, right. Her husband dies, both of her sons die. And so to use that to transition to us here and now is the idea of what your plan or journey was. I don't know what song it was, but I heard a lot of Christian radio, various stations, a lot of K-Love on our way back from the Arizona area. And whoever it was, the artist talking about, you know, basically that this journey, Lord, isn't what I had thought, but it's way better. And I thought, that's it. As we talk about shattered dreams today. Now, when I say way better, not necessarily materially.
Right.
And not necessarily as you, Rob Gillette, let me use you as an example. As you, a talented, well-received Christian counselor for many years, and then through medical challenges, you, I think, I'm going to dare to say, you maybe retired earlier than you would have anticipated.
By a long shot.
Okay, by a long shot. And so, you know, you go, well, this wasn't your plan. And yet, we have to say, right, what is God's agenda for our
yeah.
life? What's his highest, noblest? Now, I don't know, I come back a lot of times to John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God and the one you've sent. He's a relational God, right? Father, mm-hmm. Son, and Holy Spirit, relational from eternity past, and he wants us to know him. More important than the house we have, the car we drive, how big our boat is, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Precisely. And, you know, I mean, I just being a little personal with it, when I retired, I was kind of woe is me. You know, now what do I do? You know, I can't go out and do the recreational things I want to do. I can't, you know, work, you know, in the way I want to work. What, you know, and my kids are just getting a little older. Now what's going to happen for me in life? And about 6 months down the road from my retirement, my eldest daughter went through a struggle, and she's still having some struggles with it, that I needed to be home for. Mm-hmm. And I would have never have had that chance if my back wouldn't have went out. Huh. And I've also had a couple of people that I just became friends with and just got to walk with them through a couple of trials and whatnot. You know, and once again, they say, well, you know, if your back wouldn't have went out, you wouldn't have been here. You'd been in the office. I go, that's right.
Uh-huh.
I said, you know, and I said, I still wouldn't have charged you, your friend. But
yeah.
But still, you know, it's that thing. It's that thing uh-huh. where my heart was broken when it was taken away. This was my dream, to be a Christian counselor.
Right.
But out of it, God has created some right. higher dreams that I could have never anticipated.
Yeah. I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah. I would just add to that we have to come to a place where we can look for the rhythms of the movement of God. You know, I think that we have expectations about how things should be, and often they're not. And I like your there are different things that we can see happening. I remind people, God is always moving, and sometimes it doesn't seem like he's moving in ways we want him to.
Seem? There's no seem about
fair enough.
Dr.
Yeah,
Kanz,
he is.
I mean,
yes.
There's, you know, I mean, when my back went yeah. out, it was clear,
right.
you know, this is
yes.
not in my plan. My wife's yeah. heard me say that more than once.
Right. I think that's a fair clarification, is that God moves in ways that we don't understand.
There's a lot of things I appreciate about Larry Crabb, and we'll unpack some of that as we continue on with chapters 18 and 19 here from Shattered Dreams. But one of the many things is the idea that he, as much as any author I know, says, all right, there's God the way that you wish he was, and there's, do you want to know God the way he really is, right? I mean, the way he really is, because you can look at the world. Let's look at, you can look at the presidential race and you go, how could he come up? That's, those are the choices you want us to have? Come on. You must have, we can all agree that there'd be better people who we'd like to see serve in the nation's highest office, the most powerful job in the world. I mean, I hope we can.
Right.
And so that's a mess. And we can look to heaven, I mean, honestly, and say, hello.
You know, are you even up there?
What are you thinking on this? But again, I come back more often than ever in the last 6 months to Isaiah 55. His ways are not our ways.
Yeah.
His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we're not the first ones. Habakkuk said, you know, God, I believe you're there, but I don't understand how you're doing this.
Mm-hmm. And right? Not always, Mark, but many times. You know, we go through that mysterious time mm-hmm. that we have to almost walk in darkness with just Christ as a lamp to our feet to say, okay, you know, I'll shine the light on the stones and the hiccups in your road here so you don't fall flat on your face.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to show you the end yeah. of the destination other yeah. than it will end well and it will end a party in my kingdom.
Right. I think that sometimes we tell God, God, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And we point far down the road and God often will challenge that and take us different places or slow us down and say, let's just look where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a trust piece that we have to move into.
The mystery has come up a couple of times, so we're going to let Nicole Nordeman take us to break. But Crabb is helpful, if not specifically in this book, the idea of management versus mystery. We want a God we can manage.
Yeah.
And guess what? The one God who is a God you can't manage.
Say goodnight to the light of the setting sun. One more day, one more way for keeping track of all I've done. I run this race, keep this pace, I'm doing fine, and I won't stop until each box gets checked a second time. And life becomes the round and round revolving door that won't slow down, it won't slow.
You know, I don't mind working hard in my road construction job, but what I do mind are drivers who speed through my work zone when I'm working just a few feet away. Maybe they forgot that fines double in work zones. So please, slow down, pay attention, and if you can, move over. Because as much as I like my job, I love coming home in one piece.
Hi, Daddy.
Drive safely in work zones, and let's achieve zero deaths on Wisconsin roads. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hi, I'm Gibby the Goldfish. I'm starting a new exercise program, but to illustrate the effects of hard water on you, pretend that the balls are hard water and I'm you. We can help you bounce back. Call Gibson's Water Care for a free water analysis, and we won't dodge your call.
Gibson's Water Care.
Right now, during the Super Clearance Sale at Christensen Florist and Greenhouses, come get the lowest prices of the season. All hanging baskets are 30% off. All patio pots, $10 off. All 4.5-inch pot annuals, $2 off. One more? Save 25% on all succulent gardens. And all vegetable and herbs are buy one, get one free. Sale ends June 29th at Christensen Florist and Greenhouses, 1210 Mansfield near the high school's Chippewa Falls. Open 7 days a week. Growing quality plants since 1924. Get ready to move your feet and help others in need. Dance Your Shoes Off is coming to Phoenix Park in Eau Claire Saturday, June 25th at 3 p.m. Come wearing a new pair of shoes that you will leave on the ground at the conclusion of the event. The shoes will be donated to Chippewa Valley Charities. Join your friends and neighbors proclaiming Christ and helping others in need by doing a choreographed dance to the song Rise Up by Laura Cammy. Dance Your Shoes Off is sponsored by Calvary Baptist Church and WWIB. Call 832-6363.
Take a
moment to bake someone's day with WWIB and Festival Foods. A good friend, a caring pastor, a loyal coworker. We all know someone who deserves a little recognition and something sweet. Nominate at WIB.com, and every week we'll surprise one person with a dozen made-from-scratch baked goods courtesy of Festival Foods. Go to WWIB.com and bake someone's day.
Nicole Nordeman, front page, WWIB. It's a Crab Conversation, Relationship Monday program. Dr. Jason Kanz, retired Christian counselor, Rob Gillette. We're talking about Larry Crabb's book, Shattered Dreams, up to chapters 18 and 19 today. And just a reminder, in terms of this book of Ruth, her husband dies. She's left with her two sons. They had married Moabite women, and both of her sons died. And she's like, wow, this isn't what I had in mind. And in her journey through that, but we're more to the latter part of Ruth chapter 4 now. And so that's where we're at with Boaz took Ruth into his home. She became his wife. She became pregnant, gave birth to a son. And Larry really is struck by verse 16, which we're going to get to here as it deals with Naomi. But chapter 18, our highest dream, if we only knew it. We gave some initial conversation to that, guys, Jason and Rob, in terms of whatever our highest dream is, God's is higher, isn't it?
Well, always. Because it was that way from the beginning. The nature of our fallen being doesn't realize that is our highest dream when we're born. And out of it, God, out of his love, is to refine us, to help us to see our highest dream is to be one with him, is to be known by him and to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're born without knowing that, but still being in us, he has to refine us to the point where we grasp that.
Yeah.
And that, the refinement really, really stinks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's an important point. There's no one would say that this shouldn't, that this won't be painful.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes we think, well, if God is in it, then it's not going to hurt. And that's absolutely incorrect. And it might be in this book, but he talks about God as a surgeon, and that it's surgery can be painful. It part of it is supposed to be because it's cutting away things that are harmful to
us.
Well,
it is in this book, and it's Jason. And you know, the bottom line with it is he talks about that when we're fully vulnerable before God.
Mm-hmm.
If we really don't know that God is good,
yeah,
we're going to be feeling like a cancer that is under the surgeon's knife.
Right.
We're going to fear it versus actually see that this is something good.
Right.
And we all hit spots like that. Excuse me. If you read any of the stories of, you know, the Old Testament, mm-hmm. people who are good examples, they all had massive failures, and then they all had times of extreme vulnerability where there was extreme terror,
mm-hmm.
but eventually they went on to extreme hope.
Yeah.
One of the things that just strikes me as we're having that conversation and it is the idea of people will say these things. This isn't specifically in the Bible, but it sounds good and we embrace it. And that's one that people want to say is that, you know, the safest place is to be in the will of God. And you can go, oh, boy, yeah, that's good. And I go, well, Jesus was always in the will of God and it got him across. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, right? I mean, there's all sorts of, so the 11 of the apostles were crucified.
Yeah.
So, you know, the safest place to be, I want to be in the will of God.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But do you always know it? I don't.
And, yeah. and it doesn't have to be martyrdom. I mean, it can also be, you know, short of that.
Yeah.
There's where God can lead us and guide us. I mean, we're planning to go to Liberia,
mm-hmm.
but there's no guarantees, right? There's
right.
no guarantees on. That's just the plan. That's what we're sensing is God's leading. And
yeah.
so we're going.
And there's no obvious, you know, signs that are there. But if there's an urgency in your heart that you sense God is going to be more present relationally for you in Liberia than he could be sitting behind that mm-hmm. microphone here. You're called to go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're called to thirst after that as a deer pants after water. Mm-hmm. And then you're called to find out where that cool drink is. And if it's in Liberia, you know, it's not legalistically you need to be there, but you're going to miss a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not know what it is.
Mm-hmm. But I would also add that that doesn't mean it's going to be all rainbows and sprinkles.
Sure.
You know, I think that's a really, really important piece to remember is, I mean, it's the when God calls a man, he bids him come and die. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's really hard for us to get our mind around sometimes, that we live lives of sacrifice, but there is deep joy, deep blessing in living lives sacrificially in service to God and in love toward others.
Just real quick along the lines of God's will. I mean, I guess I'm just going to think of Tim Burke. Larry Crabb mentions him in his book, Soul Talk, and he was a successful Major League Baseball pitcher. He and his wife had a desire, a plan to adopt multiple special needs children. Wow. Yeah. I mean, who could argue that is wonderful, noble, right?
Right.
Out of that, because memory's not perfectly clear, let me just say they suffered. It was very hard, which, mm-hmm. but I mean, suffered significant marital difficulty, if yes. not divorce, even out of the whole thing. And so, and his meetings with Larry, which are written about in Soul Talk, is about that. And so other examples I could point to, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean it wasn't God's will, but.
Right.
This goes back to a couple of sessions in here that we discussed, but we discussed the concept of the world of our five senses.
Yeah.
And then the world of our sixth sense. And the world of our five
That's
senses.
That's going to be Rob Gillette's first book. Now, I don't know when but you are retired now, so, you know,
but
please
it,
work
But it
on.
Is. It's a movement from having an awareness of what this world is all about to a movement of having an awareness there's a kingdom even greater than this world that is very subtle, very quiet, but is very powerful and very eternal.
Yeah.
And we're moving towards it. And these shattered dreams many times will refine us from that. You know, you get farther into the book. Dr. Crabb talks about how we try to satisfy a shattered dream even after it happens. We desperately cling to get back our dream even when it's gone. I've done that. I went to numerous specialists for my back and, everything else. Nevertheless, if you eventually get to a point where you say, this is it, I will be content just to love him, all of a sudden, there's a different shift in your whole perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't get all sprinkles and candy mm-hmm. in Liberia.
Right.
But maybe you get a sense of his presence that at least that allows you to have the strength to be a martyr.
Right.
So, Larry Crabb, chapter 18 here, and we're already to the halfway point of the show. So, anyhow, when we come back, we'll talk more about our highest dream, if we only knew it, on Front Page on WWIB. And what is it about Ruth 4:16 that strikes Larry so much? So, more coming up, WWIB.
Think about it. There must be higher love down in the heart or hidden in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart, I'll look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this whole world, what is fair?
Does your business rely on document access by various team members? Tired of slow editing problems via email? Well, the solution is DCS NetLink and Google Docs. With Google Docs through DCS, you can create great-looking Word documents, spreadsheets, and presentations that multiple team editors can work on at the same time. It will save time and create a more positive work environment. Find the solution. See DCSNetLink.com today.
Hey, it's the Gordy's Guru here. We promise this week's hole in the bake sale at Gordy's won't fall through. Rather, deliver cost savings and value to you, our customer. The hole in the bag sale features whole portions of meat like Tender Ridge Angus, whole beef sirloin tip, or boneless eye of round, just $2.98 a pound. Don't forget your whole boneless top sirloin or beef tenderloin, $6.98 a pound. And stock up on pork with Hormel Natural Choice pork half loins, sirloin roasts, or pork butt roasts at $1.98 a pound. And check out tutorial videos on how to cut meat properly at Gordy's YouTube page. It's the hole in the bag sale going on this week at Gordy's.
We
walk blind and we try to see. Falling behind in what could be. Bring me a higher love.
Salvador, Higher Love, front page, WWIV. Marco has helped us and others save on print costs and become more productive. Marco and at Menominee Street Dental, the most important smile is yours. Menominee Street Dental of Eau Claire, meet the team or request an appointment at msdsmile.com. That's msdsmile.com. Politics and sports after 11 on homepage, FM 103.1, AM 680 and WOGO.com. But right now, Dr. Jason Kanz, retired Christian counselor Rob Gillette. I'm Mark Halverson. Back from vacation today, a live front page, first time in more than a week, talking about, it's our monthly Crab Conversation. We're talking about Larry Crabb's book, Shattered Dreams. All right, so chapter 18, Our Highest Dream, If We Only Knew It. And he talks about, he longs to experience the presence of God moving through every detail of his life, both good details and bad ones, carrying him into a richer encounter with God, into a closer experience of community with others, and into an experience of personal transformation that makes him more like Christ. And really, he unpacks some following that. He says, where does that come from? How does this scene of an old grandmother, Naomi, from the book of Ruth, holding her newborn grandson on her lap, how does that stir that dream? And so.
Yeah, I think that this idea of the birth of the baby, the idea of being in her lap,
which is what verse 16, right?
Which is
Naomi's
what verse,
holding the baby. Yeah. I mean, her son, her husband had died. Both of her sons had died. Life hadn't gone like she'd planned.
Right. And I think as I read that, it's a reminder of God's provision in difficult circumstances. She's able to look down at this little one sitting in her lap and say, God is faithful. God is faithful to me. None of this makes sense. I don't understand why my husband died. I don't understand why my sons died. I don't understand why Naomi chose to come with me or why Boaz took note of Ruth. Did I say Naomi? I may have meant Ruth. But that Ruth chose to come with me and that Boaz took notice. I don't understand any of that. It's miserable. But as I look at this little one sitting in my lap, I'm reminded of God's goodness, of God's provision.
His faithfulness.
Of his faithfulness. And so I think as I read that, I hear that in there. You know, again, it allows for a richer encounter in community with God. It allows for, it's a recognition also of the importance of relationship. I think we even thinking genealogies in the Bible, the genealogies reflect relationship.
They just don't always get fleshed out.
They don't always get fleshed out that way. But I think that she looks and she's able to see some of that.
So let's talk about this. He says there are two kinds of misery, the kind that people without God feel but live to deny, and the kind that people with God assume they should never feel, right? Which is, I believe in Jesus. I've got the spirit within me. I want heaven now. This isn't heaven. And we have a hard time in the body of Christ, right, embracing that. And so he says, I'm speaking now only of the second kind of misery. And Crabb writes this in Shattered Dreams. He says, in our day of feel-good Christianity, we've come up with a wrong view of our spiritual journey. We think of suffering as something abnormal, as evidence that we lack faith. We work so hard to escape suffering that we fail to realize what good things might be happening in us as we suffer. But he says, that's wrong. That's more Buddhist than Christian, which, again, we've covered in past conversations, right? So, again, now Philippians 3:10, Paul says, I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I mean, that is, I don't know, at our mass evangelism events, at our crusades, do we adequately message that to people? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we don't. But
no,
it's part
a lot
of this
of
journey.
Times the evangelistic events are, you know, kind of centered on getting people to make a statement that they are now believe that Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times there's nothing there about following him and why you should follow him.
Mm-hmm. You can know, I mean, and again, I'm sure I've been guilty of it many. I mean, you can know you're going to heaven. I mean, this is true. 1 John 5, right? Yeah. I can take you to this. Romans 10, 9. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Mm-hmm. But suffering is part of the deal.
But as suffering sets in after knowing that, is that abundant life? And Jesus said he came to give us abundant life.
Yeah.
And so what
is... It's not what we envision.
No, it's inside out, literally.
Yeah, I mean, we define abundance as happiness, material blessing, comfort, lots of things we identify as abundance, and that's not... I don't think that's what's being referred to as abundance. I think it's the experience of being loved by God, loving God, and loving others, I think, is where we find our abundance. But that's very counterintuitive. It's very counter what we expect in the United States.
And going back to the illustration in the book of Naomi sitting in a rocking chair, you know, with her grandchild there, again, I think that's a living metaphor for what was happening in the spirit. You know, that here's new life in her lap.
Right.
And there had been no new life in her lap for a long, long, long time. And out of that, you lose hope. But God broke through in the physical world to show her that there was going to be new life for everybody, because this offspring of hers, of her, this grandchild here, was going to be in the genetic lineage of the Messiah in the future. And I don't think she fully knew that at that time, but I think she had a concept that there's going to be, you know, a new life here that I didn't anticipate, even in my old family.
Right. You know, I always find that interesting. People like Ruth and like Naomi were living without all 66 books of the Bible in front of them. They were living in the middle of the story. And, you know, so we can look at that and say, wow, that's really amazing that the Messiah was born out of that line. What I think we forget sometimes, though, is we're also living in the middle of the story.
Yes.
You know, and we are in the middle. And so when things don't make sense, we have to remind ourselves that we are in the middle of an evolving story, a story that is that God is continuing to write. And so when things seem less clear, or when we're facing suffering, we are still on the way. We're still on the way toward God, towards heaven.
And towards deeper intimacies with Him. You know, and when I talk about that, I'm not talking about that we walk around every day 2 inches off the ground, totally blissed out.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying there'll be pockets of time in our day where if we just take the time to make our heart vulnerable to God, say, I'm exhausted. I don't like what's going on, you know, with my job, or I'm disappointed with, you know, these things in the world that and everything else. Lay our heart vulnerable before God. I think we come to a point where we can meet Him.
Yeah.
And when we meet Him, that meeting brings the Holy Spirit in, and the Holy Spirit brings hope and joy that gives us the ability to put faith in Him.
A few years back, at the end of this chapter, chapter 18 from Shattered Dreams, Our Highest Dream, If We Only Knew It, Larry Crabb makes a reference to, he says, I think he's having a dialogue with God, and he says, like Jabez, so he says, now we pray, not because we're told to, but because we want to. In the middle of a dark night, symbolically in our life, that has revealed the Son of God within us, we can say, and he lays this out. And then he says, like Jabez, I ask that you bless me. I ask that you satisfy the highest dream my heart can envision, an encounter with you. And that's striking. And with all due respect to Bruce Wilkinson and all the success that he had with the prayer of Jabez and the prayer of Jabez devotional and Bible study and the book for kids. I mean, the fact is that let's see, how was that taken? How was it taken? It was taken in terms of, you know, expanding my territory, which I think is part of the prayer. But the way Crabb counters it, which, again, he's not one to, like Francis Schaeffer before him, he's not necessarily to name names, but people can know what he's talking about there, right? And so the idea that the higher than expanding my ministry or growing my business is a deeper encounter with you, right? I think about after Larry Crabb's brother died of a plane crash, and he'd written Inside Out, and he'd had, it's still his bestseller, But that's when he wrote Finding God.
Right.
And as he said in the wonderful intro to that book, is he said he came to God in the very honest way that I think you were just saying there, Rob, a moment ago, which I appreciated, which is he said, God, I need to know you better than I do. And he'd just written this best-selling, I mean, he was like the Christian counselor of Christian counselors, right? I mean, he was, you know, best-selling author, but he's like, you know, my brother just died. You know, this is a devastating event in our life of our family. And I love that prayer. I've come back to that prayer many times. Like, God, I need to know you better than I do.
Let's go back to the prayer of Jabez for a second here. When that book was really popular, a lot of people would bring it into my office and, you know, say, I'm praying the prayer of Jabez, you know, to do whatever and, you know, solve the problems I'm here for, you know. And I'm going, yeah, I'm with you on this. I get it, why you're doing this. But I don't think that's what it means. What it's really meaning is God to expand our boundaries for him in our heart, to open up our heart to greater boundaries.
That's great.
That's wonderful.
And
because otherwise it's like rubbing a lamp. You know,
yeah. It's where does the genie pop out?
Right.
You know, and it's designed to expand those boundaries. The same way I really, when I was a young Christian, Jesus says, well, with the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I started, you know, claiming a faith of a mustard seed. I was going to move everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's in my road. Well, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And if you look at the historical, you know, geography of Jesus's time, no mountains were moved,
right.
You know, and he had more faith than any of us. So either he was a fraud or he was getting at something else. And what I think he was getting at was that we all have mountains of doubt in our heart that need to be crowded out. And out of it, that's when God expands those boundaries.
Very good. We got one more chapter to go. A dream come true from chapter 19 of Larry Crabb's book, Shattered Dreams, God's Unexpected Path to Joy. Your questions and comments welcome as well in the final 10, 12 minutes. 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. You can email mark@wib.com.
Out of nowhere, this souped-up Mustang screeches into a quick-lane tire and auto center, like it's a pit stop.
Hey, I need tires, and I need them.
Before he could finish, we'd already hooked him up with a low-priced tire guarantee that beat everyone else's price. He was out the door before we could even say, have a nice day.
Quick-lane is ready to serve. Visit quicklane.com. Valid on quick-lane installed retail purchases only. Requires presentation of competitor's current price ad offer on exact tires sold by quick-lane within 30 days after purchase. See participating quick-lane for details through 12/31/16.
You can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Home Delivery Gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
Pat Couture here from Keystone Financial and the Purpose Driven Retirement Show. Being a good steward of our finances doesn't happen by accident. There are some great principles in the Word of God to help us with both spiritual and practical applications. You'll hear about financial topics that are sure to answer some of your questions. Join me Wednesday evening at 7:30 and Saturday evening at 5:30 right here on WWIB 103.7 FM.
I keep thinking of the world is turning, and we're just hanging on, facing our fear and standing out there alone, yearning, and it's real to me, there must be someone who's feeling for me, things look so bad.
Salvador, higher love, God's higher love. I know a lot of times as we have our crab conversation here, Dr. Jason Kanz, retired Christian counselor, Rob Gillette, I think the word severe, God's love is severe, right? I mean, we say he loves us, but it's not like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. I mean, it's severe. It's like, boy, he has such higher, nobler desires for us that exceed ours.
Yeah, I have been drawn, maybe we've talked about it in here even, but I've been drawn very much to C.S. Lewis's view of Aslan. I think many of us would do well to study the character of Aslan to get some sense of that idea of severe mercy and love towards people. I mean, the picture of the lion is he's good, but he's not safe. And we see that again and again in the Chronicles of Narnia.
Well, and, you know, I've wondered, I think it's in Jeremiah, the vision of, the beings. And I forget how they play out, but one face is a lion, another one's a man, another one's whatnot. I almost, you know, I'm going out on a limb here, so be careful with this. But I almost see that as God presenting himself. Huh. We don't ever get to see his full face,
but
we get to see the face of a man as Jesus. We're going to see the Lion of Judah.
Sure.
And, you know, some, I forget the other faces right now, but, you know, and that's what Aslan was.
Yeah.
You know, he was that one face that says, you know, when I come back, I'm going to establish my kingdom here. Mm-hmm. I'm not just coming back just to, you know, for group hug.
Yeah.
So let's talk about chapter 19. He transitions it. He talks about Naomi. And again, now lost her husband, lost both of her sons, going, you know, goes through the journey. But this idea in verse 16, Larry Crabb's really struck by having this new grandson on her lap. And he says that's a key phrase there. So chapter 19 is a dream come true. And he begins it. He says, here's what I conclude as I read the end of Naomi's story. The name of Jesus does not belong at the top of my list of most cherished friends. It belongs on a page by itself. Remember at the beginning of the book, he talked about name six friends that you'd come to mind. That, and he talked about why those particular friends. He says, when he really needs some, I mean, these people deliver for him.
Right.
But for others who go, as you go through the trials and tribulations of life, you can feel like, Lord, why did you allow that suffering or that pain or that heartache? And so while we can theoretically go, well, God is my friend and sing the song, what a friend Jesus is, practically sometimes that's just doesn't get lived out, right?
Yeah.
And so he's talking about that. But Jesus, he says in the end here, he's saying Jesus belongs on his own page because he is a true friend, but he's got these higher, nobler ambitions for us, right? Or desires.
Yeah, true. And it gets back to what we've already been talking a lot about, just kind of what our expectations of what the blessed life is, what an abundant life looks like. Sometimes I wonder, I was just talking with someone about this earlier today, how do we, as we put on the character of Christ, live in such a way that we are supportive, that we are constantly doing good toward people. I think sometimes we hear that as, okay, that means you tolerate everything that I do. And I don't think that's true. But what I struggle with is what does exhortation look like as Christ followers? And maybe I'm going a little bit of afield here, but I wonder about that question, because I think sometimes it's, if you love me, you tolerate what I do, what I say, who I am. And I don't know what the answer is to that, because there are times when people are doing things that are intentionally damaging to themselves or others. I think Christ has that. I mean, he is on his own page because he's able to, through the Spirit, push and challenge us on things.
Well, there's a couple of things, you know, about...
I think it depends on how well you know the person.
And there's a couple of things about that. The first thing is when things were at their darkest for us, and hopefully they won't go back there, but you never know, you know. I had a friend who would get together with me regularly, and we'd go for rides, and actually a couple of friends, and they'd ask me how I was doing. And I would say very clearly, and I won't use these terms on the radio, but how I felt at the time.
Yeah.
But I also said, underneath all that, there's an undercurrent of hope.
Yeah.
And Scripture has promised me that. In 1 Corinthians 13, it promises me that there's love and there's hope. And, you know, the love will never leave me nor forsake me.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable. But it doesn't make my circumstances good.
Yeah.
And they're painful. And so one of the things I think Christians get in trouble with is they are either or in their feelings. They either have to be feeling great.
Right.
Or they, you know, are feeling lousy. And I think a lot of life is integrating both.
Yeah.
You know, as being able to tolerate some of the downfalls, but the reason you have is you have that underlying strength there
right.
that's not yours.
Yeah.
Well, if, you know, trust, real trust develops in the dark, Larry Crabb says, and I so appreciate in, you know, his summary for Second Chronicles and another of his books, 66 Love Letters. See, we talk about one book, we make references to various other ones in our monthly Crabb conversation.
Well, he kind of has done that himself.
Yeah, right.
Indirectly.
But I think that to use that weather-wise, you know, I just assume it's always like today. I mean, sunny and in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
But if you translate the metaphor of weather to our life, but you're going to trust God and probably get to know him better if there's a tornado warning. I mean, if you got to, you know, you got to really trust him.
Right.
And it's during those dark times that he takes us through the valley and there's the richer, lusher growth. But who signs up for that?
One time, well, this was many years ago, we went for our 20th anniversary to a very nice place. And my kids went with me. And I got up in the morning and was, you know, threw back the sliding glass doors, beautiful view of the ocean, you know, palm trees in the breeze, great garden in front of me, drinking a cup of coffee, and it was mid-January. And I said to myself, man, God's good. And then I said, would I be saying that if I was back home where it was 10 below?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Would I be saying that?
No. Yeah.
You know, I was. It was circumstantial.
Yeah.
Right.
And it wasn't. It wasn't hardly 2 months later that some of the events that kind of moved me out of my occupation kind of just happened one right after another. I think God was preparing me to say, don't trust circumstances.
Yeah.
I remember that vividly.
Let's close out the chapter, chapter 19, A Dream Come True, and we'll have one final conversation next month, third Monday of the month in July, on this. But Crabb says this, and I'm going to read a little, get you to comment. He says at the end, there's no higher dream than experiencing God as he moves through every circumstance of life to an eternal encounter with himself, where transformed people will enjoy perfectly loving community around Jesus Christ, the source of perfect love. If that really is the highest dream of the human soul, Crabb says, why do so many of us dream only of lesser things and then despair when those dreams are shattered? Right? Even as I share that, even as we dialogue, guys, I mean, I feel like it's coming home to me clearer, like, God, you love me so much that you want me to have a higher dream. You want me to know you and help me to embrace that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says to ask the same question another way, why is our experience of spiritual reality so limited? And he says this, there will be no revolution in the church without personal revival, and there'll be no revival without restored passion, without an encounter with God that captures our hearts and liberates us to enter into community with one another and to experience profound transformation in the way we think and live our lives. I mean, he's big on that encounter with God, the community and the transformation.
Well, and the child on her lap was the starting of community. It was helping her to see it's through community life that we're going to get a sense of the future's hope.
Yeah.
You know, but it was also representing an invisible sense of hope that was way in the future.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to community, why do we want an encounter with God that's so great? Is this, you know, something just for our own well-being? Or is it something that becomes a cup that literally overflows into other people's lives, not just something that we're storing up for our own joy and peace, but it's something that we look for a way to flood that love, that joy to others and encounter them.
Real quick, because I want to hear from you, Jason, but I just think we're so often misled in the Christian life, and I'm like, God, protect me from this and everybody, which is we get focused on the ministry. Oswald Chambers says, the biggest mistress to beware of is ministry. Yes, God, make my life a living bread people can eat from, but guard me from focusing on that. Guard me from pursuing that.
Yeah. I would just add to that we do desire community. I think those things Rob was just talking about all flow together. In perfection, God is glorified. We are full of spiritual fruit, and our cup does overflow onto others. Those things all exist together. It's hard to see that as we look in a mirror dimly.
And we're not to look, be cognizant of that. We're to be looking at Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. And we see that in Jesus, and we see glimpses of that in our relationships now. We see glimpses of that in our relationship with others. So those are just my thoughts. I do want to add one thing that is minimally related. No, it's closely related to what we're talking about. Between now and when we meet next time, Larry's new book comes out. It is released July 5, officially.
A different kind of happiness.
A different kind of happiness. And you, Mark, and I both had opportunities to review that book and...
And write endorsements that are included.
And write endorsements that are included. And it is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That helps explore some of the stuff more deeply.
I think it's a great title. It's a great book. And we encourage it strongly. And we'll hope to have Larry on the show as soon as we can get him.
Yeah, so. It'd be wonderful.
Thank you, Jason. And thank you to you, Rob Gillette. And one of your past clients emailing in says, thank you for having Rob on your show. From time to time through his counseling and his pre-retirement years, he helped me through a really rough time in my life. When he retired, I felt a loss of solid advice, so I'm glad to hear his voice of counsel and envision his laughter through the radio. So there you go.
So thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for listening. We're going to podcast up at WWIB.com. Next month in our final Crab Conversation on Shattered Dreams, truly experiencing God from chapters 20 and 21.